Neil Young and Crazy Horse. I wanna live with the cinema. Love Earth Tour. July 29th, Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater. A rare opportunity to see Neil Young and Crazy Horse live. Always in high fidelity. On sale now at Ticketmaster. More information at neilyoungarchives.com.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
it's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
Yeah. Hey.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. This morning, we are also joined by Michael Caron. Our listeners are pretty familiar with Michael. He's been here a number of times. He's a USU Extension Associate Professor. Michael, thanks for being with us this
morning.
Thanks
for having me.
And thanks to Dave last week for filling in for me so that I could attend a destination wedding that my son was in. And I appreciate you and Dave filling in, Tom.
Oh, we had fun. I'm
sure. You
Kent
too.
Kent Pine came in.
The rabble and rousers.
Yeah. We tried apples. One of them is a unique tree to Utah and just had a good time. Apple cider donuts, apple cider. You know,
I'm glad you invited another guest today so I didn't feel left out of the whole experience.
I will see if I can get you some apples.
Okay. This morning, you wanted to talk about taking care of your Christmas tree. What are some of those things that you should be doing? So, you guys, give us some tips.
Well, there's two types of Christmas trees that we can, I guess, consider at least once living or living. And so
there is a difference.
Yes, there is. The fresh cut trees that you get from the little tree stands or from the, you know, you can get them almost like 7-Eleven, I think. Sometimes I've seen them there. But there's that kind of, then you have the living Christmas trees, and the care for both of them is going to be very different. And Mike, did you want to go over choosing a cut Christmas tree, almost like the Christmas Story version of it?
How do you best choose it?
Yeah, where half the needles are on the ground.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. they go to pick it
shake
up.
Shake it first, right?
Yeah,
make
shake
sure
it
the
first.
Needles don't fall off.
Yeah. So there's always going to be some needles that fall off of these trees just simply because of natural shedding processes. But there really shouldn't be a carpet of needles on the floor or on the ground when you're selecting those. So it's hard to know how fresh they are. I mean, they're coming wrapped up on trucks, you know, usually from a few states away. But most places will cut the base for you, you know, to get a new cut at the end so that it'll take water up better. And that's always really helpful to keep them fresh throughout the season.
So, and I know that when you get them, you know, as soon as you get home, you're supposed to take that. They oftentimes put them on that little, they've got the 1x4 stand that it's nailed to. You take that off and then saw about an inch of the trunk off the bottom because that will seal up. And as soon as you saw it, you get it into water as quickly as you can. And
should it be warm water though? Cold water?
Just
curious.
Tap. Room temperature is fine.
Yeah, I don't really think that the temperature of the water really matters at all. I haven't seen any research that seems to suggest that the temperature of the water is better.
Okay.
The research doesn't really support adding sugar to the water or Sprite or 7-Up or some of those other things.
That you see on
Yeah, the
TikTok.
Idea is that you know, the tree isn't going to photosynthesize, and so you can give it some carbohydrates, you know, some sugar. The reality is, though, is that where most of the sugar is moved in the plant is in the phloem, which is the outer bark, and the water uptake is through a different plumbing system called the xylem, which is most of the bulk of the stem. And the xylem really doesn't handle the sugar, and so it doesn't distribute it throughout the tree evenly or even put it in a place where the tree can utilize it. So it really doesn't do what people think it's going to do.
It's going to gum the tree up,
yeah.
Potentially, and especially if that water gets low and the tree stops uptaking it because it can't, because it's too low, that sugar can actually plug that xylem or the conductive tissue so that it's hard for it to uptake more water. And so you're better off just using straight tap water.
Well, there's nothing like a live Christmas tree or a tree that's been cut and put in your house. You know, just from the old days, I don't have a live Christmas tree anymore. I'm just going to be honest. My lifestyle does not fit having a live Christmas. We would forget to water it. And before Christmas, the thing would look half dead. And so we kind of just had to give up on that. But if you have a lifestyle where you can actually take care of the tree, make sure that it's going to look great through Christmas, it's a different thing. But just the smell of a cut tree is just so amazing.
It is. One thing I will say, there's been, and I don't know if it's just been coincidence, but a lot of people I know have been going up into the hills and getting permits to cut their own Christmas tree. And there's a couple of towing companies that have tow trucks that will handle snowy roads. It's their busiest time of the year is towing all these people out that go up there in their Corollas. And then get stuck, and then they've got to have this tow truck come get them.
Well, it's a great family tradition.
It is.
Okay, so let's go back to the tree, the watering for a minute, because this is what would catch me up every time. You really do have to make sure it has water all the time.
You
can't be dry, right?
Right. Yeah, so when they go dry, a lot of times, and this is also why we recut it, even recut the base when you put it in water again. But when the tank goes dry, air bubbles will form in those plumbing tissues in the tree that will move the water up. And the tree it's a challenge to get rid of those air bubbles. And unless the air bubbles are removed from those xylem tubes, they can't really take water up again. So letting it go dry can, even if you water it again, can cause it to stay dry and that it won't be able to take up water as effectively. So it is a real maintenance idea. So the recommendation is to get a tree stand that has a large reservoir, like at least a 1 gallon reservoir in it, so that you don't have to do it more
than
once a day.
That would have helped me out a lot.
Yeah.
But a Christmas tree, on the first day that it's in your home, because it's dehydrated from being shipped and sitting, it can use a couple of gallons of water that first day, then a gallon of water a day for several days afterward. And so it's important, especially that first week or so you have it in, that you make sure it stays hydrated. And once it's rehydrated, that uptake will slow down.
Mm-hmm. And part of it depends, too, on where it is in the house, how warm it is, if it's near heat vents or fireplaces or things like that. And then what type of lights and how many lights you have on it, those kinds of things. If you got it's all LED lights and they burn cool, that will help. But if you got the old school lights,
it's tough to give advice on how often to water it. You have to just watch it, make sure
it
has plenty of water.
Yeah, you just keep it topped off, really. So you check it every day.
You do. I wanted to briefly talk about true living Christmas trees that are in a pot. And I've known a couple families that will get one, and they had a lot of property, but they would bring it in the house, and then the next spring they would plant it in the yard. And they would write down the memories from that Christmas in a journal and where the tree was. And then during the Christmas season, they would go out from tree to tree and just talk about the memories of that Christmas and read the journal entries and stuff. But the living Christmas trees you can find at local nurseries, they're heavy. And they can weigh 150 to 250 pounds depending on the size.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because you want one with a fairly big base, a fairly big pot or root ball on it, but they're still going to lose a lot of water. You still have to keep that topped off, keep that soil moist.
Sounds really messy to me.
It is kind of messy. You got to put a big dish or saucer underneath it, you know, and keep it from getting all over the floor.
It is. And then the other challenge with them is you can only have them in the house for about 5 to 7 days. If you have them in there any longer, they may break dormancy, and then you've got this huge house plant until spring if you can get it to survive. Wow. And so you have a Christmas tree for a little less than a week, and what you need to do is then move it back out to the north side of your home or into an unheated shed and water it all winter long, every 2 or 3 weeks, and then plant it in the spring.
Yeah, once they lose their dormancy, you have to babysit them. So they're not all they're cracked up to be, but a lot of people do like them, and they can be in some ways a more sustainable resource because they'll give us enjoyment for years to come.
Sounds
maybe
like a lot of work, though.
You could use it as a living Christmas tree 1 year, and then the next year cut it down and use it for your
tabletop
fresh
tree.
Cut. Yes. No, but they can be a good tradition. The other challenge with those that people don't think of is that pot sits 2.5 feet tall and the tree comes out of the top of the pot. And so if you buy a 6-foot living Christmas tree, it's really going to be 8.5 feet tall minimally. And so you need to be able to accommodate that with your ceilings. And if you have it in your house and it's 2.5 feet off the ground, you have to figure out how to decorate it a little bit. I guess it just makes more room for presents under it. But there are people that do those living trees and they do them every year. It's not as popular, but it is another tradition that they can do.
Sounds yeah, like it would take up my whole room.
A real custom tree skirt on those.
Right. Okay, we're going to put up more tips on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. You can give us a call now, share your stories with us, or ask your questions. The number to call, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. You can also text us your questions, 57500.
American Stone can supply you with everything you need to turn any yard into a personal oasis. From retaining walls to pavers, fire pits to water features, they're way more than flagstone. Watch for their upcoming Memorial Day sale. Details at American-Stone.com.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you.
Good morning and welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse. I mean, not only has Dave Meekum waited 11 months to play Christmas music, he's not turning on my microphone until he's heard plenty of the song.
I think if he had his choice that we'd probably just play Christmas music during the entire show
every week,
and we might just say, well, it's time for a break and coming back with Jingle Bells.
No, he likes plants too much. Yeah. I don't think we would get away with that. Number to call with your questions, and the phone lines are open. We know it's the busy holiday season, but we know you also still have questions about your yard and your indoor plants, and we'd love to hear from you this morning. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500.
So I got an email
okay.
from somebody Thursday that said they were a listener, and so I purposely didn't answer the email. I'm just going to email them and say, listen to our podcast if you weren't listening. This person, his name is Jameson Little, bought some raspberries from a fairly major online retailer, mail order catalog. tried to order Heritage, but he got three different varieties, including a third of them being Heritage. And he's unhappy with two of the three varieties. One is a trailing raspberry that stays on the ground. They're not completely hardy. And just unhappy with them. And he wants to know, says, so should I get rid of the bottom two thirds of the bed and try it again and order more Heritage? After 3 years, the bed filled up with canes nicely, so there isn't a clear demarcation between the types. When's the best time to try to kill them? How should I go about this? And so I wanted to talk about this because it isn't just as simple as killing them out and replanting. Because raspberries, even over 3 or 4 years, can get a buildup of pests and diseases in the soil. And if it's the only place he has to renovate, he's going to have to. But if he's got room, I would actually recommend putting new raspberries in a new home to maximize their life.
The problem is space in your yard, right? Not everybody has just ton of space. And so we end up, as habit, planting in the same space. But I learned from my tomatoes this year, planted them in a totally different area of the yard, in a flower bed, because my vegetable garden was under construction. And they were the best I've ever had. I've never seen so many tomatoes. So there's really something to making sure that you rotate your crops.
Yeah, with raspberries, I mean, if they've only been in the ground 3 years, I think it's probably okay to just tear them out and put them back in that same spot. But, I mean, it probably would be better a little bit. But usually 3 years in, if they were good, healthy plants when they got them, they're probably still pretty good ground for raspberries, I would
say. So to keep the three separate varieties separated, what would you do if you had to butt them up against each other in the row?
Pick one variety.
So he likes Heritage. I mean, the only thing I could really think of, and how deep, I mean, at least a barrier 18 inches deep, at least 18 inches.
Yeah, at least 18 inches. They tend to go around those things pretty well. Digging, you know, tilling and keeping those runners out is a good way. But it's hard having multiple varieties in the same row just simply because you're not really going to be able to keep them from mixing together very well.
So how is that going to change the fruit?
It's not going to change the fruit. It's just going to probably have different ones, kind of this intermingling of where they get ripe. And and he's got different plant habits. And so he's going to have, if he's got this one that's trailing on the ground, and it's rooting on the ground, that one could really infiltrate the others. And then it's hard to manage kind of this two-layered canopy. So, okay. Yeah, that's a challenge.
I don't usually hear about trailing raspberries.
Well, he might actually have a trailing blackberry. And I think there are some trailing raspberries, too. But generally, if it's a trailing bramble, so blackberries, raspberries, all that group, they're not hardy. And so if they get snow cover, sometimes they can overwinter. But they're only hardy down to about 10 or 15 degrees above zero. So even in St. George, one out of every 5 or 6 years, they can be killed to the ground. And so these trailing blackberries, and there's some hybrids that are super sweet, just aren't really well suited to Utah usually. And so I would swap them out. I mean, the other thing he could do is just plant two or three varieties and let them kind of integrate a little bit and just let them. One of them, the problem is one of them usually ends up being more aggressive and over 5 or 10 years taking over.
Yeah, almost always you have a dominant variety. And we see this with the apple trees where they have the 4-in-1 apple trees. After a few years, it's a one in one. So I think that just trying to stick with one variety, or at least stay with the same plant habit, ones with the same plant habit, and letting those mix together would probably be more realistic to manage.
Right. So I see the reason I don't usually hear about trailing raspberries is they're tough to grow in Utah.
They are. They would get new growth every year that then would be winter damaged.
Yeah. So then you don't get fruit because they're going to bear fruit on the second year canes. But if those canes don't overwinter, then you're always going to go back to having first year canes every year.
Yeah, this is a problem with people like me. We just like to experiment with things, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't.
No, there's a lot of cool things you can do, and if people are interested in things like that, Facebook has a Utah Rare Fruit Growers group that is fantastic, you know, and anything from jujubes to hardy pomegranates to persimmons, American and Oriental persimmons. It's all on there. Bananas, even people putting greenhouses over a Cavendish wow. banana. So there's all sorts of things. But if people are into growing marginally hardy fruits, this Utah Rare Fruit Growers can be a great resource.
Yeah, you just can't be heartbroken every time you fail, right?
Exactly.
No, they just remember they're not puppies.
Just remember that if you put it in as an experiment, you're going to get the data.
That's right.
One way or the other. So just
not always
go
good.
With the data.
All right. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Number for you to call and be part of the conversation, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
American Stone can supply you with everything you need to turn any yard into a personal oasis. From retaining walls to pavers, fire pits to water features, they're way more than flagstone. Watch for their upcoming Memorial Day sale. Details at American-Stone.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Tan Bettis, and Michael Karen joining you this morning. Phone lines are open. We're taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Getting a few texts this morning. The first one, this person says their Meyer lemon is covered with aphids. What's the best way to get rid of them? They're coating the new buds and blossoms, and but the lemons, the mature lemons, seem to be fine. Okay, you guys, take it on.
Well, aphids are always a struggle, and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if there were some other things too, like some mealy bug or some scale as well.
Ew.
I suspect it was outside during the summer.
Yeah, most likely. But if it was mine, what I would do is when it warms up in the afternoon, I would take it outside so it's above freezing, and I would try to hose it off with a strong stream of water. I would try to hose as much of those aphids off as I could, and then I'd bring it back inside, and then I would spray it real thoroughly, or even do it outside or in the garage with an insecticidal soap, like a Safer insecticidal soap or some other brand. And then just keep watching it and keep retreating it, because you're probably not going to get them, probably not going to ever get them all in an indoor environment. Outdoors, you have a lot of natural predators and a lot of environmental factors that can sway the populations. And so we can sometimes achieve more complete control outside, but inside it seems like we're always going to kind of chase that tail a little bit.
And the only other option would be a systemic, but that's out of the question if they are eating the fruit. Mm-hmm.
There are some systemics containing neonicotinoids.
Yeah, the imidacloprid.
Yeah, that are labeled for edibles. But again, they're labeled for it, but it's like, do you wanna be potentially consuming some of that? So that's why I say go after them with an insecticidal soap, which isn't going to do any harm to anybody inside at all. They're basically just kind of a specialized soap, really, that dries the bodies out of the aphid. So you have to get it right on the aphid. You got to spray thoroughly. You got to spray underneath the leaves, spray the buds thoroughly. I even spray along the soil surface, because when the plants are disturbed, a lot of times aphids will drop off just onto the soil till the disturbance is over, then they'll climb back up. So spray the stem, spray the soil surface, and just watch it, like monitor it every week. Go back and look at it. Look for new populations that they tend to favor the buds where the most sugar is, where it's the softest tissue. So look those as the indicators, and then just spray the plant when they reappear.
Every year we have this conversation about Meyer lemons, and I am amazed at how many people do grow them, how many people do have them indoors during the winter and just rave about them.
Well, Meyer lemon is a hybrid actually between a lemon and a mandarin orange.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a lemon, but it's sweeter than a regular lemon. So that's some of it. But we use Meyer lemon for as we would, lemons in cooking and things. And they're a great fruit. But they are a very popular houseplant, and you can pick them up from sometimes Home Depot or Lowe's, but places like in Utah County, Cook's oftentimes has them, and then up in Davis County, J&J Nursery. I think what's the nursery in West Point up there? It's Flint's. Yeah, Flint's Garden Center sometimes has them. There are two, maybe Valley. There's a lot of different places to get them, and they can be challenging to take care of. They need bright light. They want to be off to the side of a west or a south-facing window. You need to turn them. They can get a little bigger, even though it says dwarf. They can get, 5-6 feet, and it takes a full year to ripen that fruit. But when you get those blossoms, those citrus blossoms, they smell so wonderful.
Yeah, when I saw the message about the text about the Meyer lemon, I instantly thought, oh, they're wondering why all the leaves are falling off or something like mm-hmm. that. And that's usually what we get. I see that a lot. And that's just simply because they brought it from outside, where it's a high light environment, to an indoor environment where the light is very poor comparatively. And a lot of times trees will lose their leaves.
Well, a response to a lack of sunlight is the tree actually has an increase in certain plant hormones as a response to tell the tree. It's just like the tree's natural way of shedding unuseful leaves. And so it's actually a natural response by the tree, because it's those leaves aren't photosynthesizing enough, and it turns out to be temporarily detrimental. But the reason trees shed leaves that are in the shade too much is because the lack of photosynthesis triggers a hormone that causes those leaves to drop.
All right, but then they acclimate, right?
They'll acclimate, and as long as they're getting as bright a light as possible, they'll usually leaf out again. And
so, is it best to keep the lemon inside year round, not put it outside? Is it best for the?
Well, a lot of times they don't fruit very well inside, just simply because the light levels are so poor,
and which is why they're bringing them in.
Yeah,
and taking them out.
Yep.
So the other thing on the lemons is that, if you want to try to minimize leaf loss, maybe starting in late August, if you're going to bring these in, say, in early October, they will tolerate, well, I don't want to even go down that road, but start transitioning them into a slightly more shaded area, and then every few weeks, a little more shade to get it more accustomed to being in shade and becoming more efficient at photosynthesizing. And sometimes you can minimize leaf loss by transitioning it over a month or so before you bring it in the house.
Okay, this is probably a dumb question, but is there anything that you can do to maybe prevent aphids from attacking your tree?
If they've been outside, no. I don't know of any practical way to do it.
Silk.
cover it
silk
with
plants.
Silk plants, yes.
Like what? Silk fabric?
Close them off once a month to get the dust off.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you have a low level of insect pests on all plants, but you have ladybugs and lacewings and click beetles and a number of other things that prey on these. Even earwigs are insect predators, and they keep the pests in check, but you always have a low level. You bring them inside and there are no natural predators in there. And so the insect pests oftentimes go crazy and just multiply like crazy because there are no predators eating them anymore. And so that's why we recommend isolating your plants for 6 weeks to 2 months in their own room so you can prevent those pests from spreading to your other house plants.
All right. Well, they must be pretty delicious for everyone to grow them as much as they do.
Well, it's pretty brutal when you actually, if you watch an aphid being eaten by a ladybug or a lacewing under a scope, I mean, it's just like these old 1970s PBS documentaries. The lions are chasing down the gazelle and ripping it apart. And it's the exact same thing in the insect world.
I'm going to skip that experience. That's all there is to
that. It's pretty brutal. Yes, the aphid had it coming. Thanks, Dave. And so at any rate, when you bring those plants inside, those predators aren't there. And the insecticidal soaps are your safest option. They're registered for indoor use. There are the systemics that you could use on your plants that are not edible. And they are registered if you want to go down that road. That's your choice. But that's just what you do.
All right. Coming back with more of your calls and questions, the phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. Text us 57500.
American Stone can supply you with everything you need to turn any yard into a personal oasis. From retaining walls to pavers, fire pits to water features, they're way more than flagstone. Watch for their upcoming Memorial Day sale. Details at American-Stone.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. And Dave Meekum's giving me a hard time this morning, turning on my mic, but just waiting to make sure. I don't know that he's telling the truth. Anyway, thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Our phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. Hopefully you are in the Christmas spirit, but hopefully you're still loving your plants as well, right?
Yes, there's still lots going on. A lot of areas don't have snow cover you can do in your yard. We have one text about chrysanthemums wondering if they should cut them down now or in the spring.
And?
Mike says yes. I think his mic's off.
There you go.
Sorry. Yes, either one is fine. Whatever you
doesn't hurt them.
Doesn't hurt them to stay the way they are.
They get pretty yucky if you leave them.
Yeah, most people do it because it looks nicer to cut them back early. But as far as the plant concerned, it's not going to affect the plant health one way or the other.
All right. Next listener wants to know about Christmas cactus, and they know we've talked about it before. And we've talked about it, too, because they're holiday cactus, not just Christmas cactus. But they want some tips. What's the best way to take care of Christmas cactus or holiday cactus?
Well, if they're Christmas and Thanksgiving cactus, in October, they need to put them in an area that has a nice big cold window. Because temperatures below 55 degrees trigger the bud formation that makes all the pretty flowers. And lower light levels do too. And so the cherry on top is if you have a room that you rarely go into after it's dark, plus you have a dark, like that big window, that's going to cause them to bloom like mad. But generally, like a deck window or a big living room front window are fine. And so you let it sit there for 8 to 10 weeks until you see bud formation, then flip it 180 degrees. Spin it. Don't turn it upside down. And you flip it 180 degrees to let the other side form buds. And some of the newer cultivars will bloom all winter long. Some won't. But that's what triggers the bud formation on both the Thanksgiving and Christmas cactus. They're very closely related. They just bloom at slightly different times, but oftentimes they overlap.
I know that mine will sometimes bloom a second time during the year.
Yes, and that's due to the cold weather. And that's great that they do that. The Easter cactus, or the Easter cactus, is a little bit more distantly related, and it actually, its bud formation is triggered when day lengths start to increase in February and March. And so it's a little different, and so it generally won't bloom in the winter, but they have beautiful, really multi-petaled white blossoms usually on the Easter cactus. Mm-hmm. Quite beautiful plants, but it's just slightly different.
Okay, I was mentioning that I have two of these cactus. Well, I probably have three. I don't know. I lose track of how many plants I have. But the one that's in my entry has really beautiful green, do we call them leaves?
Yes.
Pads. Well, they're really called pads.
Pads,
okay.
But the one in my bathroom, which I just posted on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page yesterday, it's in beautiful full bloom. But the leaves aren't beautiful green or pads. They've got a little bit of yellow in them. And Michael said, so what are you doing? How are you taking care of it? How often are you watering it? Once a week, and it usually needs watering once a week, and then I do nothing with it. So what, you were giving me some advice.
Well, they do need some fertilizer, especially when they're going into the bloom season, because they're putting a lot of energy and nutrition into those blossoms.
So it was telling me, give me some extra help.
Yeah, so I think it probably needs a balanced fertilizer. It probably needs a little bit of nitrogen. We had one in our office that was actually turning purple, so that would indicate probably a phosphorus deficiency. So just putting in a little balanced fertilizer. It can be a soluble fertilizer that you put in water or like a slow release thing like Osmocote or NutriCoat or
Peters the house.
Or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. You don't have to buy a special Christmas cactus fertilizer. They're going to have the same nutrients.
We really get sucked into those marketing things, don't we?
It's all fertilizer. It's all the same, usually the same type of products that are in those. They're just marketed differently.
Did you want to add something, Tom?
No, I think that covers
it.
How
about soil, though? How often does the soil need to be changed?
Every 2 to 3 years. The Christmas cactus can be a little bit root-bound, and they're fine with it.
Yeah, I think that's happening, too, with mine.
And so I usually transplant mine every 3 years instead of every two. And I put them into a pot that's about an inch to an inch and a half deeper and wider than the one that I already had. And I think the Christmas cactus would be fine in its old soil, but the soil breaks down and decomposes because it is mostly peat moss or coconut fiber. And just for the fact that you need to refresh that soil every 2 to 3 years, that's another reason why we're transplanting it.
Okay, so how do we keep it the same size? Because I've seen people transplant it and they just keep getting, they'll get huge.
They're like the plant from what's the show? Feed Me. Anyway,
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if you want to keep them small, then you're just going to have to always be pruning it. So you're going to have to balance the top because they'll get really top heavy, with especially if you keep watering them and the root system is dense in that pot. So basically, it's kind of the similar way to how they do bonsai. You know, they have these really old trees and these teeny little pots, and they're small because they prune them heavily. They take them out of the pot, they prune the roots, they prune the tops, and that's basically what you got to do. Okay. You got to balance the top and the bottom. You can divide the pot. You can actually kind of cut the clump in half. You know, those kind of things, because they will kind of spread out inside the pot. So there's different ways to go about it.
So if you wanted to propagate new Christmas cactus or holiday cactus, not trying to be PC or anything, but just generally we call all of them together the holiday cactus group, what would you do to propagate them?
Well, they're pretty easy to propagate. Normally all you need to do is I like to take them in where it's two pads, so two leaves where they're connected end to end. And really all you need to do is stick the lower pad in some damp potting soil, about half of the pad buried. And usually they'll just root pretty easily that way.
So one more question. We just got a text saying, my Thanksgiving/Christmas cactus has never flowered. Any ideas?
Yeah, so probably going back to what you said a few minutes ago, it needs... So these plants have a similar flowering regimen or process to poinsettias, which in their native environment, as the day length gets shorter and the temperatures cool off, that triggers flowering. Inside, we tend to have our lights on late at night. It's not getting that continuation of or an increase in darkness period. Or we come in and interrupt that long period of darkness by turning lights on. And the temperatures may not cool down enough for it. So it's giving them 12 hours or more of continual darkness, and cooler temperatures will trigger flowering.
All right. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. We'll be right back.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.